Shabbat Shalom, everyone. What happens when we die? You ever thought about that? People do. Do we go to heaven or hell? Do we become angels and float around on clouds and pluck a harp all day? Well, Yahweh's word has a little something to say about that. Present-day churchianity tells us that we have an eternal soul that will endure after death. They propose that the essence of one, or of who we are, will go to heaven or hell at the death of this physical body. I don't know. Is there an immortal soul? Where do we go for eternity? Is there eternal life? Let's start out in Genesis 2:7, where it says, "And Yahweh Elohim formed the man out of dust and from the ground, and breathed into his nostrils breath of life, and the man became a living being." Well, some translations may say that the man became a living soul. But in essence, what we have here in Scripture is that Yahweh decided to make a man. So he gathered up the dust of the earth and he blended it together with the breath that he provided. And that became man. That became a living man. That became a soul. There was nothing else involved there. It was just his creation. And this man was created to live forever in the presence of his Creator. This was going to be a glorious beginning to a wonderful relationship between man and his Elohim. And Elohim saw that it was not good for man to be alone, so he created a helpmate for the man, out of the man, so that they could be one. Echad in the Hebrew. The helpmate was called woman. Let's read about that in Genesis 2, 18 through 25. "And Yahweh Elohim said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone, and I'm going to make a helper for him as his counterpart.' And from the ground, Yahweh Elohim formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them out to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living being, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock and to all the birds and of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper for him as his counterpart. So Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman, because she was taken out of the man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, yet they were not ashamed. And they together were to live in the land that their Elohim created for them. Yahweh and his creation existed together in peace and harmony. There was but a single restriction. In order to enjoy all that the Almighty had to offer, they only had to refrain from eating the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. According to Genesis 2, 15 through 17, the man was told to refrain from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they could not refrain, this action would cost him his life, and that the lives of their children, because they were an extension of the original creation, the man and the woman and all of their offspring would no longer live forever. So life was good as long as man held to one simple rule of Elohim. Then we go on to read chapter 3 of Genesis. You'll follow along with me. I'm just going to start reading about the story where this happy existence came to an end. In chapter 3, starting with verse 1, and the Nahash was more crafty than all Nahash, that's the serpent. And the Nahash was more crafty than all the all the lives of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, is it true that Elohim has said, do not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the Nahash, we are to eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Elohim has said, do not eat of it, nor touch it, lest you die. And the Nahash said to the woman, you shall certainly not die. For Elohim knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be like Elohim, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to make one wise. And she took of the fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loin coverings for themselves. The deceiver told them that they would not die if they ate from the tree. The half-truth was that they would not die immediately. The fact is that they lost eternal life when they ate from the tree. So as soon as they ate, they were dying. You see, Yahweh told the man in Genesis 2:17 that you will surely die. In some translations, it says, in this day you shall surely die. He didn't say immediately. He didn't say that the man would drop dead. What he told the man is that when you eat from the tree, when you disobey my instructions, when you rebel against the order of the created things, you will no longer live forever. Churchianity would have you to believe that man was created to live forever, And nothing happened in the garden to change that intention. Their mantra is that we all live on in the here and in the hereafter in one place or another. But something did change as a result of rebellion. Something did change in the garden. Mankind lost the ability to live forever. The scriptures tell us that we die. Ezekiel 18:4 tells us that the soul that sins or rebels will die. Here we find that there are consequences for our actions. The Creator of the universe knows how to live a life of peace and prosperity. He created the place. He knows the rules. He also knows that when we defy the rules and choose to do things in a contrary manner, that things happen that we may not find pleasant. And we will have to live or die with the consequences of our actions. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 9, 5. Where it says, "For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not, nor do they have any more reward, for their remembrance is forgotten." The dead know not. Here we find commentary on the state of the dead. We're not floating on a cloud plucking a harp, or in a hot place filled with anguish. We're simply dead. In Sheol, a Hebrew word that means grave. We're dead and waiting for the resurrection. John 11:11 describes death as sleep. Let's turn to John 11:11. I can get this page to turn. There. John 11:11. "He said this, and after he said to them, 'Our friend Eleazar has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up.'" Eleazar was dead, but he was going to be awakened. Especially. Sleep is the way that Yahshua referred to death. That was a common understanding of death until redefined by the Church of Rome. John 3:16. That's a well-known verse. That says that Yahweh desires that all would have eternal life and that none would perish. Yeah, I said perish. He didn't say that he desired that all would have eternal life with him, or that all would have eternal life in some uncomfortable place being punished for not doing what he said. But to perish. So the decisions we make are a life and death situation. Yahweh is an Elohim of love. Yahweh is defined by his love for his creation. In Jeremiah 32:40, he says, He will never stop doing good for them. He desires that we love each other as he loves us. There are those that would have you to believe that the creator of the universe would artificially keep disembodied beings alive forever for the purpose of torturing them because they did not obey him. That is not true. That is not the case. In Exodus 19, we read the account of the intended meeting between Yahweh and his people. Yahweh's only concern was for their safety. Let's go to Exodus 19 and read a bit of that. Starting in verse 1. In the third new moon, after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Mitzrayim, on Egypt, on the day that they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they set out from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, so Israel camped there before the mountain, and Moshe went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called to him from the mountain, saying, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and declare to the children of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Mitzrayites and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And now, if you diligently obey my voice and shall guard my covenant, then you shall be my treasured possession above all the peoples, for all of the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a reign of priests and a set apart nation. Those are the words which you are to speak to the children of Israel." You see, Yahweh only wanted good for his people, under the condition that they keep with his rules. And all the people, starting in verse 8, and all the people answered together and said, "All that Yahweh has spoken, we shall do." So Moshe brought back the words of the people to Yahweh. Well, again, Yahweh's only concern was for his people and for their good. So that they must carefully follow the rules, lest they be destroyed. Those that respect his name and follow his will. Turn with me to Luke 19:36. And as he went, they were spreading their garments on the way. And as he was coming near, already at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the entire crowd of the taught ones began rejoicing to praise Elohim with a loud voice, for all the miracles had been seen, saying, "Blessed is the sovereign who is coming in the name of Yahweh. Peace in heaven and esteem in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your taught ones." But he answered and said to them, "I say to you that if these shall be silent, the stones would cry out." Hmm. He went on to say that the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. And they will dash you to the ground, and you and the children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another, because you did not recognize the time of Yahweh's coming to you. Even though he saw what was about to happen to the city, his only concern was for their good. His only concern was their safety. His only concern was for them, and he wept. And they would not. With their mouths, they proclaimed to be his people, but they would not. Yahweh desires that we have life eternal. He created us that way. He gave us instructions on how to live our life, how to prepare for life eternal. He's given us a way to regain the eternal life that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Yahshua has paid the price for transgressing the Torah, the instructions. Yahweh has prepared the way. Yahshua has paid the price. And by Torah, we are given the instructions on the way in which we should go. Yahweh only wants us to choose. To choose to live forever in his presence, in his shalom, in his peace. In the world to come. Or to cease to exist. And we're free to choose. If we don't like the instructions we've been given for a set-apart life in the here and now, if we don't like humbling ourselves and submitting to a higher authority, if we can't admit our mistakes and pray that we can learn to make things right, if we cannot love our neighbor, no. If we cannot love our enemy, if we cannot be selfless instead of selfish, we will not be happy in the world to come. Only those that are prepared will want a part at the wedding feast of the bride. Only those that love Yahweh will be comfortable in a world without rebellion. When the dead are resurrected, according to Revelation 20, they will be. It will either be a glorious resurrection to life eternal, or they will realize the error of their ways. In any event, they have to be resurrected because they sleep until the final call.